Mics are on. Mics are on.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to His Tabernacle Family Church. We are so glad that you're here. We are live on WENY Channel 36. We're also with our live stream and Facebook Live and YouTube Live. And we just want you all to know how much we love you. We're praying for you. God's got great things for you. You know, today as we're getting ready, this is a monumental day for His Tabernacle. It's the very first live broadcast we have ever done. So all those that are watching all through our community, we just want to say thank you for taking the time to allow God's Word to penetrate your heart. You see, it's the Word that changes us. It's God's Word that transforms us. And today we don't come to you with religion. We don't come to you with a church. We don't come to you with a preacher. We come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that's above every name, and the Word that's alive and real. And today we just want to say thank you for taking the time to allow God's Word, especially during this time and season of our country and across the world. Jesus is the answer. And we want to challenge you to go and know Him. And I don't know, can you say hi to my beautiful wife, Rhonda? Hi, beautiful wife, Rhonda. Would you like to say something and pray?
Absolutely. I would love to. I just want you to know that our world changed almost overnight. But I have good news for you. God never changes. Amen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this change doesn't change the fact that we are children of God. Powerful, faith-filled, mountain-moving, giant-slaying children of God. It doesn't change that all of His promises are still true today. It doesn't change that we are the church, supernatural and unstoppable. It does not change. God does not change. I am so confident that He is going to make a way, even when it seems like there is no way. His Word says over 365 times, do not fear. He knew you would need to hear that a lot in this season. 365 times, do not be afraid. We are still the church and children of God. Let's pray together. Father, first of all, we just love You. You are such an awesome, powerful, mighty, and majestic God. We exalt You and we lift You up. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that is leading and guiding. We thank You for Your power. We thank You for signs, wonders, and miracles still active in the world today. And we call forth signs, wonders, and miracles even now in this season. Father, we pray over every business leader in this area, in these seasons, as they're navigating. We thank You for those that have the Holy Spirit that will lead with wisdom, that You will give divine strategies to, and that they will actually increase and accelerate in this season. That Your promises and Your covering over Your body and Your children will be prosperity and faith. We thank You for it, Jesus. We thank You that You are the healer and the protector, and that You are strong and mighty. We just love You, Jesus. In Your precious name, amen.
As we're getting ready to worship, I want you to know that Jesus can heal you right in your house. I don't know what you're struggling with, but God is abundantly above and beyond, ready to touch you, minister to you, and love you. So, man, get out of your chair. Get ready to worship. Maybe you don't know the songs, but God's going to move you because we're going to move God. Enjoy worship. Come on and sing and clap with us. Come on, sing.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. Every day, but I'm watching while I pray. attack, I won't turn back.
Why?
This means war.
Come on and sing that out. Say,
this means war. This means war. This means war.
Come on and sing that first verse with us. Say, I got joy.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. Come on and sing that out.
Even when I don't see it,
you're working. Cause I know you're here.
Oh, Lord, when temptation comes,
question that right now in the time of history that we're in, that we need God more than we've ever needed Him before. You know, sadly, as a pastor, the last time I saw people's interest spiritually spurred was on 9/11. We slid into a quiet period of time, and we slid into a time where rest was there, and now all of a sudden the pandemic is upon us, and people are crying out for God. Listen, don't wait for trouble to cry out for God. Don't wait for trouble to come your way where you can call on the name of the Lord. This is your time and your season. Make sure that you are building a relationship that when these things happen, you're not overwhelmed. You're not going to have to live in fear. Fear is not from God. And God does not want us living in fear. But you cannot not live in fear if you don't know Him. And you can't know Him if you don't need Him. I need Thee every hour. I want you to know that's the song that drives my heart. I just love the fact that I know that I need God. I know that I've got to be with God. He's the most important person in my entire life. And today I just want to challenge you wherever you are. Wherever you are spiritually, wherever you are physically, geographically, it doesn't matter. People from all over the world are watching right now. I want you to know this. Jesus is there waiting for you to call on His name. He's waiting for you to say, Jesus, I need you. Some of you are in a backslidden condition. Some of you once served God with all of your heart. Some of you once lived for Him, and man, your passion was Christ. And now through the things of the world, like Demas, he loved the world more than he loved God. I'm challenging you. This is your time and your season to come home. Maybe you've never known Jesus as your Savior. Don't wait. You feel it. Come on now. I know you feel it. This whole world, whether you're saved or unsaved, you feel. What do you feel? You know something is up. You know something is off. This is not normal. And I want you to hear me clearly. We are in the last of the last days. According to the scriptures, there's not one prophecy left to be fulfilled before Jesus Christ sounds that trumpet. The Bible declares the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Encourage one another with these words. You see, if you're born again, that's encouraging. You know Christ, you're going to see Him face to face soon. But if you're not born again, I don't know, maybe you should be in a little fear. Today is your day. Today is your moment. Even as the presence of God is filling your house, even as the presence of the Holy Spirit is filling where you are, I want you to know this. Jesus loves you, and He came to die so that you could live, not just here, but forever, in eternity with Him. Please, let's make sure that we're in the right posture. I need Thee every hour, because when you're in His spot, when you're in relationship with Him, then you have the waymaker, the miracle worker. Man, God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. That's why there's no fear. With God on your side, how can you fail? But without God on your side, all you have is what the earth can provide. And that should scare the hell out of all of us and run us to heaven. Today is your day. Today is your moment. And as this service continues, we want you to know we love you. We're here for you. We're not trying to propel religion. I said it earlier. We're not trying to propel a church. We want you to know Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. It's time to come back to Christ. Oh, but Pastor, I just heard in my spirit. But Pastor, I'm not from that religion. You know, I was brought up Presbyterian. I was brought up Catholic. I was brought up Baptist, brought up Pentecostal, brought up this. Listen, there are no tags in heaven. You either know Him or you don't know Him. Jesus said it clearly. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Today, Jesus is calling your name to know Him. Not know about Him, but to know Him. I challenge you by the end of this service to make a decision for Christ. We love you. Hey, we have some amazing things going on this week. Many of you are confined to your homes. Jesus, help us all. You're confined to your homes. You're confined with your babies. Nothing wrong with our babies. But man, when you're with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I was on Facebook watching what people were saying about their wives and their husbands, how much they love them. But dear Lord, being with them all 24, 7 days is tough. This is what I want you to do. We have some great things that are happening. We want to bless you. We want to minister to you. I'm going to have Pastor Cody Spencer. He's going to give you the announcements for the week. Pastor Cody, bring us to where we're going to be this week at His Tabernacle Family Church.
Awesome. As Pastor was just saying, we have Facebook and YouTube Live every single day in two different slots. At noon, for your children, right after their schoolwork or naps, we want to encourage you to jump right on Facebook and YouTube as Pastor Aaron in our kids' ministry is actively sharing great lessons, great activities, and things to do the rest of the day. And then for parents, at 7 o'clock, we want to be able to speak hope, faith, and life into your household. So 7 p.m., the same channels, Facebook and YouTube, we're going to be live every single night, Monday to Thursday, with Pastor Spencer and Pastor Rhonda. And we're really excited in this season, in this time, to make sure that hope and faith are continuously being produced and put right in front of our life. And even right now, we have Easter right around the corner. In just a couple weeks, we will be together engaging for our Easter services. For more information on His Tabernacle, you can text 97000, one word, His Tabernacle, or go to histabernacle.com for more information. Before we go back in, I just want to say thank you for joining. If you're having audio issues, you can go ahead right now and go to social media and join us there. And if you're watching now, we'd love for you to share this with your friends and your family. There is a massive amount of people who are living and encountering fear, and we'd love for them to hear a message of hope this morning as we continue in Sunday morning. But go ahead and join us back in the main sanctuary for the message from Pastor Spencer, even right now.
Praise the Lord. What a great moment. We got so much going on for your babies. We got so much going on for your family. We want to make sure that you stay engaged this week. You know, I have a message for you. This is the year of the church that is unstoppable. Shout it out with me. Unstoppable. The supernatural church. That's who we are. And that's who God has called us to be, especially this year. And as we're seeing already, we have got to be unstoppable. We have got to make a decision that nothing is going to stop us in moving forward for what God has for us. You know what's amazing when you really start thinking about it? Everybody, it's easy to shout when everything is going all right. Can I hear an amen? When everything's going good, everybody's happy. When everything's going good, everyone's at peace and at rest. But man, where the rubber meets the road is when hell starts licking your toes and you've got to make a decision. Do I really believe God? Do I really know God? Am I really living for God? Or am I just somebody who's that fair weather Christian that doesn't have enough faith to get me past just going to heaven? You see, as we all know, fears, trials, challenges, adversities, tribulations, intensities, realities are truly what test our faith. Years ago, my wife made a statement that has stuck with me, and it was simply this: your faith is a theory until tested. And that is very true. We must have our faith tested. Now, I don't believe this is from God, because God does not use sickness against his people. God is not a God that brings sickness in our lives. That's what Jesus paid for on the cross. So therefore, there's no way he's going to bring it into our lives as a trial and tribulation. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 1 that God can tempt no man with evil. And the word of God declares, I will not put any of these evil diseases upon you. God will never use sickness and disease against you as a believer. But we are in the middle of trial and tribulation. And amazingly enough, not only the people that are in the world, but the people that are in the church are dealing with massive amounts of fear. And that is not God's plan. Turn to someone and say, God does not want me living in fear. Come on, right online. Come on, tell somebody, God does not want me living in fear. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 out of the Amplified Version says it this way: Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test you. That is, to test the quality of your faith, as though something strange or unusual were happening to you. The fact is that many of us have been shocked. When all of this occurred, many people literally went straight into fear. And I'm talking everybody. I was watching people as they were dealing with this emotion, and I'm watching them curl up almost like in the fetal position, just trying to survive. Man, they're speaking death, and the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Instead of speaking the word of God, instead of standing firm in the word of God, they were literally shaken inside of them, and their faith was being tested. The truth is that where you are in your faith really and literally cannot be tested unless a trial comes. The book of James chapter 1 also says that he said, count it joy when you fall into different trials and tribulations because it's going to develop your spiritual man. We've got to learn that we can't be shocked when trials come our way. Why? Well, because if you're born again, you're somebody who knows God, you're somebody who's blood washed by Jesus, you're somebody who's living for Christ, you're someone who's building your faith. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I want you to know that fear will cripple you. I want you to know that fear is the opposite of faith. I want you to know that fear is the faith of Satan. But Jesus Christ said, if I said it, I want you to know I'll do it. And if I say I'll be with you always, I'm never leaving you. I will be right there. And the word of God says that I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That means, man, that means you're going through something. You see, you don't have to walk through if you're not even ever seeing it. But we're going through some things. And I want you to hear me. We're going through. I don't know what the world is telling you. I don't know how much fear they're trying to expel into your life or propel into your life. I want you to know today that you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. You can put your faith in the Word of God. You can put your faith in the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, for those who just have religion, man, I want you to know something. You're going to really find a lacking right now. For those who live a life of religion and just do good things, and maybe you're just a nice person or you're a sincere person and you believe in God, well, the Bible says, even the devils believe in God and tremble. It's not enough to believe in God. It's not enough that you just go to church. Church can't get you to heaven. Your mom and dad can't get you to heaven. There's no other name under heaven whereby you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. The Bible declares, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him to the dead, you shall be saved. Salvation doesn't come through any other way but through Jesus. Can I hear an amen? With that, it says this, with Christ on your side, you cannot fail. When that fiery trial comes in your life, that ordeal that we're all facing right now, I sit back and I watch our governor online. He's telling everybody, you know, the things that they're quoting are going to happen and all the difficult things that are happening. And I thank God our county hasn't been touched. Can I hear an amen? But I want you to know there are regions around us that have a few cases. But I want you to hear me as well, that Jesus Christ is still the healer and he can heal. Come on now. The coronavirus is not bigger than Jesus Christ. I didn't hear nothing. I said the coronavirus is not bigger than Jesus Christ. You do not have to fear the name coronavirus. You need to understand that Jesus is stronger. The Bible says that everything shall bow and kneel to Jesus Christ. Even a virus. I want you to know a virus has no power over the believer. We have the authority in Christ's name to curse that virus in Jesus' name in our lives and remain as victors in Christ. We have a choice. And the choice is this. When the fiery ordeal comes, we're either going to handle it head on with faith or we're going to handle it head on with fear and doubt. And I want you to hear me now. Somebody said to me once, well, you know, it doesn't make sense to have faith. Man, we all know the truth, and that is it. There is truth. If you got snot running down your nose, I want you to realize you probably got yourself a cold. You can say you don't got it, but we can all see that you do. That's facts. But there is a truth, and his name is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to hear me. The truth will make you free, not your facts. We've got to get back to believing the Word of God. This America has run from God's word. We expelled God's word in the 1960s. We now, literally, it is, you can almost say anything, but don't wear a Christian t-shirt. It's time to recognize there is a true onslaught to eliminate God from our society. And it's time for the church to rise. It's time for you to get back to the truth. It's time for you to get back to the reality that is absolutely gonna make you free. You can live in victory even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because I won't fear, because if God is for me, who can be against me? See, when you recognize this, instead of trouble being your problem, you can learn how to trouble your trouble. The prayer of faith, you learn how to bind and loose. You learn how to cast out devils. You learn how to live in authority. As a Christian, God didn't leave us here to survive. He brought us here to thrive. He brought us here to be ambassadors, not of a failing country, but of a thriving kingdom. And his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it cannot happen when the saints of God, when the people of God are loving the world more than they're loving their God. We've got to get back to loving Jesus with all of our heart, our mind, our body, soul, and our strength. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. That anointing that abides within, that supernatural power that God has given us. We've got to bring difference to our world and not let the world transition us. You see, the fact is that we're all going to go through a fiery ordeal. We're all going to have trials and tribulations. We're all going to have realities that will even take our breath away. But we have a choice. The scripture's filled with men and women like this. How about Daniel with the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6? Here's a guy, he was in a foreign country. But he loved his God. Three times a day, he would kneel down near the window and he would start to pray to the God of heaven, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the I am and the Prince of peace. He spoke to him and had a relationship with his God. And that's what God is after with you, a relationship, not a religious experience. And he prayed and he sought the Lord and he had men that hated him. You'll always find that people would rather have you drinking, drunk, and in the bar with them than living a godly life. Here he is, man. They went to the king and they said, King, we're going to make a decree. You need to make a decree that no one can pray to anybody but to you. And man, the king made the decree. And Daniel had a choice. Just like you and I have a choice. This was reality to Daniel. He knew that if he went back up in those stairs and he knelt down and he started praying to his God, that they were going to come and they were going to persecute him. But he had to make a choice in the middle of his reality. And that is that I trust God more than I trust what I can see. Oh, come on now. Isn't that the way it is? Faith calls those things which are not as though they already are. Faith is living a life, is stepping out on nothing and landing on power. What is that? The word of God. When you learn how to walk by the word, you learn that you have faith and stability that cannot be shaken and cannot be moved. And here's Daniel. He went back upstairs and he started praying. And the king found out, and man, the king's heart was broken because he had forgot about Daniel, that he was the one that was praying. And he had to fulfill what he wrote down as a decree. And that was to throw Daniel in the lion's den. Some of you feel like you've been in the lion's den. Some of you feel like you are in the lion's den. That's right, you stuck at home with your children. You stuck in the lion's den. But here we had to make a choice. He chose to live for God. He chose to serve God rather than the reality. He chose to make God's word his choice rather than the reality of the circumstances sitting in front of him. And he chose that day and it cost him. I want you to know it's going to cost you. People are going to hate you. People are going to talk badly about you. People are going to misunderstand you. People are not going to talk nicely about you. But he made that choice and they threw him in the lion's den. But Daniel did not have fear. Why? Because he knew his God. You see, when you know God, not know about God, when you actually know God, everything changes. There are many people that have a concept. Well, I grew up in this. Well, I grew up in that. Well, I believe this about God. Listen, you can't write your own Bible. Can I hear an amen? You can't write your own philosophy and think that God's going to back it up. The truth is simply this, is that God's word is yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it all comes to completion. And here we are as people of God. We've got to make a decision like Daniel. I refuse to allow fear to captivate me, even if it gets me thrown in the lion's den. The next morning when he got up, the king ran to the pit, and there's Daniel. Not a tooth mark on him. Why? Because God sent the angels to shut the mouth of the lion. I'm here to tell you today, his reality was real, just like yours is. But he made a choice to have faith rather than fear, to live according to the word instead of his circumstances. And I want you to know that God will always deliver you. How about Shadrach, Meshach, the fiery furnace? Daniel chapter 3. The king, King Nebuchadnezzar, built a great idol, a great statue, and said, when the trumpet sounds, everybody will bow down and worship the idol. But the three boys said, I'm not going to bow to that idol. I'm not going to bow to that. I only serve God. That choice was real. The reality was that if they did not bow, that they would be thrown in the fiery furnace. But man, sometimes you got to get a backbone in your life. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes you got to make a decision that isn't always popular. You've got to stick with the word of God. You've got to serve God with all of your mind, your heart, your body, and your soul. You've got to make God your number one priority, no matter what anybody says, does, or thinks. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And all of a sudden, they were faced with a reality. And here's the reality, that if you don't bow, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And they refused to bow. They refused to allow fear to captivate them. They refused to allow their circumstances to motivate them. They stayed faithful to God. Man, I don't know about you. Isn't it time that we remain faithful to God? Especially in these days that we're in right now. Man, you cannot vacillate in your faith. You cannot vacillate in your belief system. You've got to get strong in the Lord. Man, when you become strong in Jesus, people look to you as the rock in their life. Why? Because they are vacillating. They are confused. They are in fear. And they need somebody who's going to stand up in faith and declare that God is good all the time and never bad. That God is able to bless me. That God is able to protect me. That God is able to heal me. That God is able to deliver me. My God is alive. And this is what the boys did. They stood firm. The reality was they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar was so mad, he said, I'm going to stoke that beast up seven times hotter. And man, exactly, that is what he did. In fact, the men throwing the boys in the fiery furnace, they were consumed before they even got there because it was so hot. But all of a sudden, when they were thrown in there, Nebuchadnezzar was looking. Guess what happened? He said, I thought we threw through in three in there. They said, we did. Then who is the fourth? Come on now. I want you to know that even in the midst of the fire, even in the midst where everybody's in fear, even in the midst where everything seems to be going crazy and chaotic, I want you to know there's a fourth man standing with you. His name is Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. You can have faith in God. Come on now. I said you can have faith in God. When you learn this, man, everything changes in your life. Your perspectives change. How you deal with things change. How you deal with life changes. There was a man named Jairus in Mark chapter 5. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and his baby girl was dying. He came to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, if you lay hands on my daughter, I know she'll be well. And Jesus started going. He had a reality. I don't know if your children have ever been sick or a family member that you love have ever been sick, but I want you to know there comes a place where you feel literally helpless. When my son Cody was born, he was born with a pneumothorax, and they didn't get the time. They didn't give us the time to play with the umbilical cord and mama sit him on his chest. They whisked him right off, right into the incubator. As I'm watching him take every breath as a gasp, as I'm looking at his skin and it's not the right color, I want you to know as a dad, I felt helpless. And I thank God that I had a God who is helpful. Can I hear an amen? That God was able to touch him and heal him, and the pneumothorax healed on its own. But I want you to know there's a helpless feeling. And this is what Jairus was feeling. He was feeling helpless at this very moment. And Jesus turned and started going, which was saying, I'll heal your daughter. On the way, there was a woman called with the issue of blood. She'd been bleeding for all these years, spent all her money on the doctors, and no one could help her. But someday, I want you to know, she said this, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made well. She scooted in there, she touched Jesus, she touched the garment, and the Bible says that virtue or power, dunamis, supernatural endowment from heaven, rushed through that clothing, rushed through her body, and dried up her blood, and Jesus healed her right there without her even knowing. Come on now, without him even knowing. He said, stop, somebody touch me. And they said, what are you talking about, Jesus? All these people are all around you. No, somebody touched me. You see, when you have faith, you can move God. When you have faith, God makes a declaration. You cannot please him without faith. For those who believe that he is, must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God wants you to recognize that he's able to do the job. Wants you to have faith that he's not going to leave you. Wants you to declare the truth that will make you free. And that day she was. But then a servant from Jairus' house came and said this, don't bother the master, your little baby girl is dead. Man, it went from reality that was very serious now to a place what some would call hopeless. And some of you watching right now, you're feeling hopeless. Some of you watching right now feel like there's nothing and nobody that can help you. And I want you to realize that that surged through Jairus' body, but Jesus made a declaration, do not fear, only believe. I said, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. Only believe what? Jairus, only believe what you said in the beginning, that if I lay hands on your daughter, she'll be made well. Do not change the profession of your faith. Do not change and agree with your circumstances. Do not change and agree with the world. Declare the word of God, and God will show up in your life. Realities are powerful. Facts are real. But the truth that makes you free. We've got to make a decision in our heart that I'm going to have faith in God. Their faith in God raised a daughter, kept the boys unfurnaced, and kept everybody safe. You got to have faith in God. Everything received from God is by faith. I just want you to hear me. I'm concerned. As I listen to people on Facebook, as I watch people on Instagram and listen to all the fear that's ramping up and people are afraid to go outside, they're afraid to breathe, they're afraid to touch somebody anymore. And I want you to know, I'm not saying the coronavirus isn't real, but I'm telling you that God is more real than the virus. And we put more faith in a virus than we do in God. We've got to make a decision in our heart. Is God actually able to fulfill his word? And the reason why so many struggle is their faith is low. Come on now. The average American only goes to church one out of every 3 weeks. We have people that mostly go 2 times a year, Christmas and Easter. We never pray. We never pick up our Bibles. We live our own life, and God wants you to hear something so very clearly. It's time to build your faith. It's time to grow in faith. It's time to know God. It's time to look at me now. It's time to start looking even at your past experiences and saying, God, I thank you for what you did then, but I need you to move in my life now. That is how God will change you. God will transform you through relationship with him. You see, we've got to have faith. You don't have a problem. You just need faith. Not faith in faith. You need faith in a God that is able. Come on now. The God who said, let there be light, and there was light. The God who rolled back the Red Sea and they crossed on dry ground. The God that opened up the River Jordan. The God that brought down, come on now, brought down Jericho. The God that brought his son, Jesus Christ. The God who rose him from the dead. The God who today is in your life, wants to be in your life, wants to transform your life. He is alive, and he wants to change you from inside out. This is the God we serve. But if you don't have faith, I want you to know you all have a measure of faith. God's given everybody a measure of faith. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. even now while you're watching this telecast, even now while you're watching this broadcast, even now while you're on live stream, you're hearing the word, your faith is starting to rise. Why is your faith rising? Because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is, the Bible says that Jesus made the declaration, the words that I speak are spirit and life, Zoe, the God kind of life. As you're hearing this word, it is building your faith level up. You've got to hear the word of God. You can't just hear it once a week. You can't just hear it once a month. You've got to hear the word of God daily. You've got to feed your spirit. What you feed grows. What you starve dies. We've got to have more faith than we've ever had before. But faith does not come on accident. It is not that apple that fell on Sir Newton's head. It is you and I saying, God, I want to feed my spiritual man. God, I want to grow in my belief in you. God, I want to grow in my trust in you. I want to know you so that no matter what the world says, I'll trust what you say. When you know this, it starts changing your life. The fact is, as God said, I hold my word above my name. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says this, so that by two unchangeable things, there are two things that are unchangeable. It is impossible for God to lie. When you understand that, you can put faith in him. When you know that God cannot lie, you can put faith in God. His promises are yea and amen. See, some of you are struggling because your faith level is so low. Because you really don't know God, you know about God, but God wants a relationship with you. He wants to grow and mature so that you will trust him in every situation, that you'll trust him in every problem that comes in your life, that when the fiery ordeal arrives, you're not freaking out, but you're resting in the everlasting arms of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Everything we receive from God is by faith. We get nothing from God but by faith. You are saved. That means your sins are washed away. Well, you know, I'm not really one of these religious people. I'm not talking religion. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The truth is simply this. You've got to know Christ. You've got to know him. And the only way to know him is to exercise faith. By faith are you saved through grace. You are saved by faith. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Not religion. I'm talking knowing God. And this is eternal life, John 17, 3. And this is eternal life that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. God wants you to know him. And when you know him, you can trust him. And when you trust him, you can call those things which are not as though they already are. You can walk in faith and not by sight. You live in victory and not in defeat, no matter what is happening around you. Can I hear an amen? Today we're healed by faith. Your faith has made you whole. Today we are free from fear by faith. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Today you have all authority over the power of the enemy. Everything you need in Christ to live in success on this planet comes through the new covenant that Christ gave us, according to Peter. We must feed our faith, especially during this time. You cannot allow the fear-mongering. Now listen, I'm not saying this isn't real, but I'm saying at times, man, you will grasp fear quicker than you'll grasp faith. We know where we are. We know what we got to do. Now feed your faith instead of feeding your flesh. You want more education, that's beautiful. But you can so educate yourself out of faith. Oh, I'm not saying hang your brain on the hat rack. For God gave you a wisdom, but you've got to believe God's word more than your, come on now, you've got to feed yourself God's word more than you're feeding yourself your television. Got awful quiet right there. It's the truth. If you feed yourself the television more than you feed yourself the word, you're gonna have fear, because the reality is gonna look bigger than your God. But when you start feeding your faith, when you start declaring who he is, when you start knowing your God, I want you to know there is nothing that your God cannot do. In fact, it's not only that he cannot do, he wants to do. God wants to deliver you. God wants to help you. God wants you to have confidence. God wants you to have power. God wants you to have health. God wants you to have freedom. God wants you to have deliverance. He wants it, or he wouldn't have sent his son Jesus. He paid for it. Your reality is being determined by what you're feeding. And your faith must be stronger than your fear. And the fiery ordeal, when the reality of it shows in your life, it cannot bring you to fear. It must bring you to faith. I'll end with this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Earth will never change heaven. But faith in God will change your earth. You and I have to make decisions. Where do we put our faith? More in what we can see, touch, feel, smell, or more in the word of God, the yea and amen of heaven? More in the God of the word, for Jesus said, I am the word that became flesh and dwelt among you. We've got to make a decision, especially in these last days, and I'm talking these last days. The church has got to become people of faith rather than people of fear. And the way we do that is to feed the right beast. Today, I don't know where you are. I don't know what trial you're going through. But I do know this, that Jesus Christ paid it all just for you and I. Now, I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not talking religion. I don't care what religious tag you were brought up with. I'm talking knowing God. And the only way to know God is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The only way to know God is to say, Jesus, I surrender my life. My life is not my own. The reality is you and I saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you every hour. Where now our time is spent feeding our understanding of who God is, rather than feeding our flesh and what the world says. Listen, if our government could fix this whole thing, it would already be done. If medicine had the all in all, then they wouldn't still be practicing. If everything here was done by natural means and everything would already be fixed and everybody would always be living in happiness. It's not the answer. There is only one answer. His name is Jesus. And today, that's who we bring to you. Today, that's the message I have for you. Your faith can be stronger than your fear, but you've got to know the one who can deliver you from the fiery furnace. You've got to know the one who can heal your daughter, raise her from the dead. You've got to know the one who can deliver you from the mouth of the lion. You've got to know the one. When you're in the deepest part of the prison and you start praising him, an earthquake comes and sets you free. You got to know him. And when you know him, your whole life changes. I'm serious, man. When you give your heart to Jesus, it's not a religious experience, it's a God experience. It's not a movement. You now have God living inside of you. You become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your eyes change, your vision changes, your purpose changes, everything changes. Oh, no, I'm not saying that God takes everything that you have and throw it away. I'm talking he magnifies it and makes it better. For you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's got great plans for your life, but he can't fulfill them when you're living in fear, when you're living out of faith, when you're living your own life. He's got a plan for you. And today, I challenge you. Know God. Know Him. Call on Him. He's listening. He loves you. He desires you. He wants to call you son and daughter. He wants to call you citizen. He wants to bless you with those blessings from heaven that earth cannot provide. He wants you to know that if you take your last breath, you'll be with Him for all of eternity. He wants you to know if the trumpet of God sounds, you're not going to be left behind in the great tribulation period. He wants you to know Him because He loves you. Jesus loves you. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't have a religion for you. In fact, if you never beckon the halls of this church, God bless you. I'm not offended. Because that's not what this is about. This message that you're hearing right now is because God is after you. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Jesus is after you. You can feel Him tugging at your heart right now. You can feel Him. He's saying, I want you. I want you to pray with me right now. If you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you want to expel fear and start living in faith, I want you to pray with me right now. Jesus, right out loud, come on. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, today I declare you died on the cross. I declare you rose from the dead, and I declare that you're coming soon. I surrender my life. Here I am, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new man. Make me a new woman. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we have a Bible for you. We want to encourage you. It's not just how you start, it's how you end. You can text right now. Text it right now on your phone. I am saved. And you can do it at 97000. Is that correct? Someone help me now. 97000. So text I am saved 97000. And someone's going to contact you. Someone's going to bless you. Someone's going to get you a Bible. We're going to make sure that you run this race and that you win. Cross that finish line. And today, we serve a way maker. A miracle worker. Jesus is alive and He loves you very much. Let's sing our way out of this service. Waymaker, miracle maker, our God is able.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
With our tithes and offerings. We never want to come into God's house without fulfilling His whole word. And in Malachi 3, it tells us to bring all of the tithe into the storehouse. And in this season, in this time, it's one of the most important times for us to remain obedient to the word of God. It says in Malachi 3:10, that when we bring the tithe to the storehouse, He will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. He will also rebuke the devourer. In this season, many of us need the windows of heaven to be opened up, need the devourer to be rebuked in our lives. We need to continue in the blessing and favor of the Lord. So this time is so vitally important right now. We even had people driving into the church today to drop off their tithe checks because they know the importance of staying under the blessing and the covering of the Lord. The church is continuing in this time. The church is not shut down. We're not closed. Our doors are not locked and bolted. We are still being the church. We are out in our community. We are serving. We are giving. We are on task. So we still are functioning as the church. And the tithe causes the church to be propelled and going forward. And in this time and season, the church needs to be propelled. We are on the front lines. The world needs us. They're watching. They're looking to us for help. And we will remain strong and unstoppable. So according to Malachi 3 and so many other places in the Word, today we are going to give our tithes and offerings. It's going to look different than it's looked before. We have a few people in the house today, but mostly online. So your giving today is going to be online giving. Maybe you've never done this before. If we could have, it's on the screen right now. Maybe you've never text to give. You can actually take your phone and text 84321 and give the amount you want to give. Or you could go right on our website, histabernacle.com, and there's a giving link. You can click on the giving link and give right there. Or you could do good old-fashioned snail mail and put a check in the mail. But we want to make sure that we are continuing to walk in. This doesn't change us. This doesn't change God's word. This doesn't change God's principle. We remain faithful and unmoved in this time and season. And we are going to see God. We are going to see God do miraculous things. We are going to see God be the miracle worker, the way maker, the mountain mover, and the giant slayer. So if you're ready to give this morning, go ahead, grab your phone. You're probably already on your computer or watching via TV. Get your laptop, your iPad, whatever you have to do, and go right now to text to give or to give online as we continue in this song and sing. Go ahead and make your giving for the first time, maybe, online and electronic.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Online still, I want to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says that signs and wonders will confirm the preaching. I declare in Jesus' name those that are sick, I rebuke that disease, I rebuke that sickness, I rebuke that attack of the enemy, and I command it right now to cease and desist in Jesus' name. I speak to those that God are struggling in their finances. Lord, some people have been laid off. But God, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. I thank you, God, you're going to make a way, even if it's catching a fish and getting it in the mouth of the fish to pay the taxes. I thank you, God, that you're going to make that opportunity occur because you are God and you are our source. I pray for those that, Jesus, are just in mental torment. I bring into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. And I declare, Lord Jesus, we will think and meditate on your word and declare that you are a good God. We will praise our way through in Jesus' name. God, this week, let us be the salt and the light. Lead us the people to lead to you. Lead us the people to plant the seed. God, give us a Holy Ghost boldness in Jesus' name. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus, we will serve you all the days of our life. And Lord, if you come before next Sunday, we're excited. If not, we are focused. to get your will done in our lives. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. We love you, family. We'll see you maybe next week. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Keep your eyes on Facebook. I don't know. Just keep your eyes on Facebook. That I got to tell you. I love you. I'll see you really soon.